To the brightest audience in the nation, in Colorado, perhaps around the world. I am not Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am Doug McBurney, and I want to thank Bob Enyart for giving me the opportunity to sit in for him today as he is out living the word. That's right, he's out living the word, and it's an honor to sit in for Bob. And for all of you heathens, atheists, evolutionists, and deviants of all varieties who don't like Bob Enyart and think that he's probably generally a lousy person, let me just tell you that I'm going to brag on Bob a little bit because I know he would never do it himself. But for all of you out there who disagree with Bob and have a, let's just say, a negative opinion about Bob, if you were to call Bob up at the last minute and say, Bob, I've got a family event I need to get to. It's out on the Eastern Plains. It would take several hours to get there from the Metro Denver area, and I need you to get up at 0:30 in the morning and drive me there because I can't drive myself. Well, Bob would do it for you. Even if you were a garden variety heathen, an atheist, or a deviant of any sort, but especially if you were a much-loved member of the congregation at Denver Bible Church. Okay, so Bob's out living the word, so he's given me the honor of sitting in for him today. And again, my name is Doug McBurney. If you don't know who I am, well, Google my name and go to theweeklyworldview.com and listen to my weekly podcast, The Weekly Worldview. And I want to start out with a little housekeeping. I want to apologize to the listeners of my podcast for a segment on this week's Weekly Worldview, available at theweeklyworldview.com. Apparently, I was doing a story about LBGT, the LBGT community. It related to some books that were, I don't want to get into it. Anyway, I inadvertently, trying to be humorous, I called the LBGT community, I called them the LBGT BLT LSD community. And I've received an email from a lover of BLTs who's very upset that I included the classic bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich in a description of the lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgendered community. And for that, I apologize. I have nothing against BLT sandwiches. And so if you were offended, please, please forgive me. But go ahead and listen to the podcast. Even if you like BLTs, I think you'll enjoy it this week. Okay, so thank you again, Bob. It's such an honor to sit in this week, and I want to start. I've got a question for you out there. I've got a story from NBC News. Apparently, the FBI has been training waste management drivers. You know the waste management drivers. They're the friendly fella who comes to your house early in the morning and empties your trash into the big truck. Fine group of people. Society could not function without the trash man. Well, the FBI, apparently, has been training waste management drivers, helpers, and technicians up in the formerly great state of New York to act as what NBC News calls a mobile community watch. Yeah, waste management trucks are now armed with a cell phone, a camera, and incident reports so that they'll have accurate information for police and possibly even prosecutors should they discover evidence of a crime. So here's my question to you, Colorado, America, and the world. Oh, by the way, the waste management calls this Waste Watch, and it's sponsored by the FBI and Waste Management, and it's free to municipalities in New York right now, and it's likely coming to a community near you. So here's the question. Do you think this is an invasion of your privacy to have your garbage man trained as something of an investigator? Do you view this as just more Big Brother tactics by the federal government? Or do you think it's a good idea that the garbage man should be trained to look for evidence of a crime. If you have an opinion, yay or nay, if you disagree or agree, if you support the trash man as Dick Tracy, or if you're against Dick Tracy picking up your trash, well, feel free to give us a call. We're at 1-800-836-9278. That's the number to call. Smile and dial. It's 1-800-836-9278. And I'll report back on my opinion a little later in the broadcast. Now, as I said, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, he's out living the word today, just serving his fellow man or woman, as the case may be. He's out living the word, being a blessing to someone. And I must say, I would have done it myself, except I had to go to court this morning. I spent the morning in the Aurora Municipal Court with a bunch of other fine citizens of the city of Aurora. And I have a little problem in that sometimes I drive too fast. And I'm willing to confess right now that I have a problem. The first step in solving that problem is admitting that you have a problem, and I have that problem. I admitted it to the officer as he wrote me the ticket. And when he wrote me the ticket, he said, sir, you might want to go to court for this when you've had a number of tickets in the past 12 months. And he said, I don't know what the situation is with your points on your license, but you might want to just go in and make sure that you're not going to be in danger of losing your license. So I went to court this morning, and it was truly a joy in that the judge permitted me basically to submit false information to the court, stating that I, instead of speeding like a maniac, which I was doing, he allowed me to testify that I was driving a defective vehicle, and therefore he only took a couple of points. And then he charged me $239, and the whole thing took less than 5 minutes. And there was 20 people in front of me and 80 people behind me. And I thought, what a racket they got going here. If everybody in here is dinged for about $200, which is about what it was. I mean, you sit there and do the math on what they've got to pay the judge. They got to keep the lights on. They've got to pay for maintenance. I mean, it's quite a racket they've got going. All right, we got a call on the trash collectors. All right, well, I'm going to come back. Don't let me forget to come back to this this courtroom drama. I'll come back to that in a moment. But on Dick Tracy snooping around your trash, Zane in Arvada, speak your mind.
Yeah, how you doing? Hey, apparently Arvada wants to be the sole collector of all the trash in Arvada. They're pushing that through. I don't know if you're aware of that, but I can't help but think that's got a lot to do with it.
Zane, they want to be the sole collector of all the trash, you say, in Arvada?
Yeah, they're pushing that through. They're trying to get it so that it's a city-run enterprise. Too many trash trucks running around.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about the FBI training your trash man to look for evidence of crimes?
You know what? I didn't hire waste management to snoop on my trash or to snoop on me. I hired them to come and collect my trash. Any citizen, if he sees somebody who thinks he belongs to Al-Qaeda, bomb-making materials, can call it in. But they want more than just that. They want a permanent, like, zoning enforcement going on. Yeah, I don't remember that fence being there. I don't remember this. I don't remember that. You know, you can't do that. You know, there's a permit for that. You know, on and on it would go.
Okay. Well, you know what I thought of when I read this story, Zane? I thought of how many times have I been watching the news, and they're looking for a missing person, and they're out there in the dump with the bulldozers, and they're going through the trash, and inevitably, invariably, they find the body. And so, can I ask you another question, Zane?
Sure, yeah.
Let's say, you got any kids?
Yeah, I do have kids.
Okay, let's say, heaven forbid, let's say one of your children was missing.
Yeah.
Do you think it'd be a plus or a minus if the trash man had been trained in some sort of evidence-gathering technique so that maybe he could be the first on the scene at 0:30 in the morning going through the trash?
Well, it'd be kind of good if most of our society wasn't asleep and if we didn't have this recidivism, you know.
Yeah, the cynicism. I hear you, my brother.
You know, we don't need to be turning these people loose. Invariably, these bodies are found, but then it was a known sex offender. You know, that's not loving your neighbors yourself. You find these people, and you know they pushed the envelope that far.
Yeah.
Time for them to go to sleep.
Amen. All right, Zane, God bless you. Thanks so much for your input.
All right. Thank you.
All right, have a great day. I tell you, I just, on a very basic level, I think I trust my trash man maybe more than I trust my neighbors, because I know some of them pretty well. And I don't know, the trash man does a pretty good job for me. So anyway, in my opinion, and I understand Zane's cynicism, but just on its face, I like the idea of the trash man being able to just be aware, to be looking for evidence of crimes. Because, you know, when the trash man's out picking up the trash at 0:30 in the morning, there's typically only two kinds of people out on the street: cops and criminals. And I would like the trash man to be out there too, because, you know, the cops can't be everywhere. So I kind of like the idea of training the trash man to be a Dick Tracy in the trash can. But if you have a different opinion, feel free to give us a call. We'd be happy to entertain your input. The number is 1-800-836-9278 if you want to participate in the broadcast. All right. So there. Thank you, Zane, out in Arvada. I don't know why Arvada would want all the trash. Maybe somebody's brother-in-law runs a trash collection company. Isn't that the way it works back on the East Coast? Somebody's brother-in-law, somebody's cousin, and, you know, all that. And pretty soon you can't have a freelance garbage truck back there, if I'm not mistaken. All right, let's go back to court in Arvada. No, I wasn't in Arvada. I was in Aurora. Anyway, I told you about the court story, basically just to, I don't know, to highlight the idea that the courts encourage us to lie and then give them a certain sum of money in order to turn a blind eye to the crime that I was willing to admit I committed. I was willing to admit that I committed the crime. I was in flagrant violation of that ridiculous 45-mile-an-hour speed limit on Parker Road. That's just unreasonable. But anyway, I was... But because I didn't want to lose my license, I went along with the sham, and I felt dirty, frankly. I needed a shower when I got home. But anyway, all that just to set this up. Now, I don't know if this is true, but this was sent in to Bob Enyart Live from a fellow conspirator out in Hawaii who happens to be named Bob as well. Right? Is it Bob? Yeah, Bob in Hawaii. He sent this to us. And this is a report. Well, it's a report from Bob in Hawaii, so you take it for what it's worth. A policeman was being cross-examined by a defense attorney during a felony trial. And the lawyer was trying to undermine the police officer's credibility. And apparently Bob had a microphone in the courtroom, because we have actual audio from the courtroom. Here it is from the felony trial out there in Hawaii. I believe it starts with the lawyer. Go ahead and roll that tape.
Officer, did you see my client fleeing the scene?
No, sir, but I subsequently observed a person matching the description of the offender running several blocks away.
Okay, officer, who provided you this description?
Well, I believe it was the officer who responded to the scene.
So a fellow officer provided the description of this so-called offender. Do you trust your fellow officers?
Well, yes, sir. Trust my fellow officers with my life.
Oh, with your life, you say? Okay. Well, let me ask you this then, officer. Do you have a room where you change your clothes in preparation for your daily duties?
Yes, sir. We do.
And do you have a locker in that room?
Yes, sir, I do.
And may I ask, do you have a lock on your locker?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, why is it, officer, if you trust your fellow officers with your life, as you say, why is it that you find it necessary to lock your locker in a room that you share with these same officers?
Well, you see, sir, we share the building with the entire court complex, and sometimes lawyers have been known to walk through that room. at which point, I believe the courtroom erupted in laughter. Now, we don't know if that story is true. It's one of those unverifiable stories. In fact, it's one of those stories that you probably don't want to know whether or not it's true. But we do appreciate Bob out there in Hawaii doing his due diligence to report on the justice system in the state that it's in out there in the formerly great state of Hawaii. Okay. So now, shall we move on to other important news of the day? I can't decide if I want to go to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or to the eclipse. Well, let's start with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because, well, that's the big story of the week. Especially if you watch Anderson Cooper. He's positively giddy. Has he ever been married? I don't think he's ever been married. Not to insinuate anything. But he's positively giddy when he talks about this story. He actually gets flushed in his face when he talks about it. He's so excited. He may run out and join the Navy. That's the only way. Anderson Cooper reporting for duty. Oh no. All right. Now, this is from the Associated Press in Washington, D.C. The White House says that President Barack Obama plans to sign the repeal of the military's ban on openly gay service members on Wednesday. Now, folks, when they say openly gay, they don't mean just happy people who can't constrain their joyful, boisterous feelings. Well, they're talking about deviant perverts who have infiltrated not only the military, but the upper echelons of government and the mainstream deviant stream media. And they're going to sign it. Now, if you all remember back in 1993, I remember I was against Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Seek, Don't Smell, because I was against allowing any deviants in the military. But there was a compromise, and now the left has successfully moved the goalposts again on us. And they've got the Republicans fighting against Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the radical far-left froth-at-the-mouth liberals who just want open deviant perverts to serve openly in the military. And apparently that's going to be signed into law on Wednesday. Now, I think that the president had intended to sign this on the winter solstice to be in harmony with all his pagan supporters. But, it's government work, and a day late is, to them, that's on schedule. So for all of you Wiccans and other deviants out there who wanted the president to sign this on the winter solstice, it's a government gig, so just give him, cut him a little slack. He's not going to be able to get to it till Wednesday. And you'll have to be satisfied with that. What else do we have here? I'm being handed a story hot off the wires here from CNN, oddly enough. That's the home of Anderson Cooper for all of those in the audience who ban CNN from your house, which is understandable. CNN says in a recent interview, Jimmy Carter, that's a former president, he proclaimed that America is ready for an openly gay president. So here we go, folks. I on my show over the weekend, I predicted that the time of tolerance of homosexuality, that's behind us. We've been doing that for my entire life. Now the time of celebration and promotion is upon us. It's been going on for a little while, and it's just going to get worse. I mean, the president hasn't even signed the bill allowing open perverts to serve in the military, and Jimmy Carter's already, he says we're ready for a homosexual president. Who knows? By day after tomorrow, I mean, Obama may resign and appoint Barney Frank the president. I mean, it's just these things tend to happen faster than you might want. Is what I want to warn everybody about. So Jimmy Carter, wasn't he elected as an evangelical Christian? And now he says we're ready for an openly deviant, sodomite, perverted president. Are we really ready for that, America? Do you have an opinion? Tell me, are you ready for it? Well, tell me if you're ready. Tell me if it would cause you to flee to Canada. The number's 1-800-836-9278. If you care to call, that's 1-800-836-9278. Now, speaking of the winter solstice, that's a big deal, with the pagans, the winter solstice. There's been a bit of confusion. There's going to be
a lunar eclipse this evening. I'm very excited about it because it starts at 11:15 here in Colorado. And weather permitting, I don't know if we're going to have clouds tonight, but I really hope we get a chance to see it because I would love my kids to see a lunar eclipse. But there's a story on Drudge that talked about the solstice and the eclipse are overlapping for the first time in 456 years. And this has set the news media all a Twitter, all a buzz. And I'm a little confused because on ABC News, on the way to the studio, they reported that this would be the first coincidence of the solstice and the eclipse in 372 years. And then we have this story from the Montreal Gazette that made Drudge. They say it's the first time in 456 years. And on 9 News last night, here in the greater Denver metro area, they said that it was the first time since 1999. And so I'm just a little confused. A couple of things. First of all, I looked up the official solstice. It begins tomorrow, December 21st at 6:38 p.m. The eclipse begins tonight at 11:15 and will last until about 2 a.m. So I'm not sure where the overlap is there. I don't get that. But the bigger issue is how is it that three ostensibly legitimate media outlets disagree so widely on when exactly the last time a lunar eclipse coincided with the winter solstice? You'd think that would be something that you could have a fifth grader look up on the computer and you could pretty much nail it. But I don't know. Maybe in the news media, we're beyond knowing anything. Now, are you ready for a homosexual president? Let's go to Don in Denver. Don, speak your mind.
Oh, hey, Doug. It's John.
Okay, John, speak your mind. Are you ready for Barney Frank to be sworn in?
I guess it worked for Rome. I mean, look at the great guys of Rome that were gay. Caligula, Emperor Nero. I mean, look at how great it worked for that empire.
That's a very, very prescient point to make, John, and we certainly do appreciate it. Can I ask you on a personal level, how would you feel if indeed at our next election, which I think is more and more likely, that an open, perverted deviant is sworn in as the President of the United States?
I think that means that lunar eclipse that might be a sign to the end times.
And we might all
might be the sixth seal.
Yeah. Then we might have to all escape to the moon. Okay, John, thank you so much for your input. God bless you, brother,
for being out there in the audience.
Merry Christmas to you. Oh, Merry Christmas. What do I have here? I have another story relating to Christmas. Nina Totenberg, who hangs with the aforementioned deviants, perverts, atheists, Wiccans, and other garden variety pagans. Nina Totenberg of National Public Radio, she used the term, she was commenting on the recent budget deal, and she was lamenting the fact that big business insists they need to know what their tax rates are going to be, while the poor federal government agencies, they don't know what kind of budget they're going to get. And she was lamenting the fact that the Democrats had caved and given what she calls tax cuts. We might want to, send Nina back to Arithmetic 101. Anyway, she says the big business got all these tax cuts, while these poor government agencies, they have to suffer through the Christmas season not knowing what money they've got, not knowing what it's for in the coming year. And here's what Nina said. She said, quote, she said, I was at, forgive the expression, a Christmas party at the Department of Justice, and people, government workers, were actually worried about this. So Nina Totenberg has to preface the use of the name of Christ with an apology. And I think that's appropriate. She says, forgive the expression, I was at a Christmas party. Nina, as a Christian, I forgive you for speaking the name of Jesus Christ on your foul, unwashed lips. I can let that slide, Nina. I would just hope that at some point in the not-too-distant future, you would look into exactly who Jesus Christ claimed to be and the promises that he's made to those who trust in him. And also, Nina, especially to the promises he's made to those who reject him and despise him. Because, Nina, we would like you to be in heaven eternally living with the living God. We would love that, Nina, because you're just so entertaining and talented and quick-witted. We really would enjoy your company, Nina. You could take notes for us in heaven for all of eternity. So anyway, I want to forgive Nina publicly. Let her know that it's okay. And also, I want to encourage her to actually read the Bible instead of operating on ignorance and cliches that she may have picked up over the years, hanging out with the East Coast liberal elite crowd that she obviously runs with. Nina, I pronounce you forgiven. Okay. So Nina can get on with her life now. Is there anything else? Okay. So nobody can have their fifth grader go to their computer and tell me when the last time a lunar eclipse coincided with the winter solstice. Maybe it's a more difficult project than I thought. Maybe nobody knows. And like I said, maybe we're beyond the point of knowing anything in a general sense in the greater public mind. Perhaps we've reached a point of ignorance and deviancy so that even our mainstream legitimate news sources disagree by an average of 225 years on when the last time this occurred. So if anybody knows, help me out. Give me a call. I could use the help because I don't have time to research this kind of stuff. Although I do have a 9-year-old. That may be her assignment for her homeschool project this afternoon before we go out and try to view the eclipse. All right. One more story here. Austerity. Are you familiar with austerity? I'm looking at Al, my board op, and he's telling me I got 2 minutes, but as far as austerity, just a blank stare. Okay, well, let me help you out here. Austerity, by the way, austerity was named Merriam-Webster's Word of the Year for 2010, and I'm sure you've been hearing it as the socialist governments of Europe begin their long march toward economic collapse under the weight of their socialist utopian societies. You've heard talk of austerity programs that have, well, they've led to riots in the streets, frankly. Well, I remember austerity used to be someone, you know, like somebody living in a monastery lived an austere life. Someone in the military lived an austere life. But now austerity means that the government is cutting back on essential services, and that leads to riots in the streets. That's the new definition of austerity. It's not a good thing anymore. Austerity used to be a good thing. It meant you were sacrificing. But now, when governments decide they have to cut their unsustainable handout budgets and their socialist utopian dreams, well, now that's cast as cutting essential services and it's authorizing college students to riot in the streets. Folks, this is the dominant deviant media teaching you to think like a socialist. But don't fall for it. A government not spending beyond its means is not austerity. It's sensibility. That's all it is. All right. Well, I want to thank Bob Enyart for allowing me to sit in while he's out living the word. Please go to KGOV.com and check out everything that's happening in the Bob Enyart Live world. That's KGOV.com. And always remember to do right and risk the consequences.